This morning, I'm so glad I could be here. As I mentioned earlier on during Sabbath school hours, and a little while ago during the introduction or announcements, during Wednesday Bible study, we were looking at the book of James, and we're looking at book James chapter 1. And when you look at that, the passages in James chapter 1, you find James trying to tell the children, the believers, that God is good. And I'm going off on a tangent here. God is good. And all perfect gift comes from who? Comes from God. We had a really powerful discussion. This is something I personally have had struggled with for many, many years. I've raised in an area of the world that good is not prevalent sometimes. There's a lot of challenges when it comes to loving each other. But I also look around and I see so much good around. If people really claim that God is not good as He is, then why is there so much good in this world? There's so much positives in this world. And I look at our congregation, and I'm not trying to flatter anybody here this morning or trying to get brownie points. And I begin to think, what would make a youth leader in our church go over to a neighborhood and work over and over and over with kids that don't even know that they need help? If it weren't for the work of the Lord in that person's life, why would somebody come from nowhere and work with our young people, taking them on camps and so on and so forth, if it weren't God working in his life? Why would somebody come and want to build a church here, spend hours and days working and working, building, if it weren't God in his life? Why would somebody go out into the community and say, you know what, I want to bring awareness of health into our community, if it weren't God working in their life? Why would somebody go out and put a pantry together and feed hundreds of people, if it weren't God working in their life? And I can go on and on this morning. I can just continue. I can just see each one of you doing so many powerful ministries here. And I'm talking about Kathy, I'm talking about Ray, about Nelson and April and Philip and Charlene and each one of you. It was Paula, Kim, and so on and so forth. But I also see the goodness of God when I also see children taking care of their parents. We have two kids, you know, George and Stephanie. And it is a lot of work. And I can't imagine a grown-up George or Stephanie who cannot move and having to take care of that individual. Taking care of parents is an enormous challenge. And I just can't fathom it. But why would a child want to take care of his or her parents if it weren't God's work in that child? There is no reason. And if somebody tells me that God is not good, all I can do is say, I'm sorry, I disagree, because I see the goodness of God in people. And I see the goodness of God working in individuals in this church, in members in this church, and we are blessed. Please never look at God as from a negative perspective. Every good gift comes from God, and what a blessing we're all enjoying. Having said that, I'm going to invite you again to come to our prayer meetings and be blessed. Abraham Lincoln, who became the 16th president of the United States, once was traveling in a stagecoach with a colonel in the army. And they're going to look at different things around the area. after miles and miles of riding with the colonel in the stagecoach, the colonel took a bottle of whiskey out of his pocket and said, "Mr. Lincoln, won't you take a drink with me?" They rode along together for a number of miles more, visiting. Anyway, Lincoln looks at him and tells him, "You know what? I'm sorry, but I do not drink." So anyhow, they continue their journey. And after a couple of hours, you know, they're having this pleasant conversation together. The colonel gets a cigar out of, a smoke out of his pocket. And says, "Now, Mr. Lincoln, if you don't take a drink with me, won't you take a smoke with me?" And so, Mr. Lincoln looked at him and said, "Now, Colonel, you are such a fine and an agreeable man to travel with. Maybe I ought to take a smoke with you. But before I do so, let me tell you a little story. An experience I had when I was a small child. And this was the story that Lincoln shared. My mother called me to her bed one day when I was about 9 years old. She was sick, very sick. And she said to me, 'Abby, the doctor tells me I am not going to get well. I want you to promise me before I go that you will never use whiskey or tobacco as long as you live.' And I promised," and Lincoln goes on to say, "and I promised my mother I never would. And up to this hour, Colonel, I have kept that promise. Now, would you advise me to break that promise to my mother and take a smoke with you?" You know, a good way of answering a question is what? Ask him another question. And the colonel looks at him and says, "No, Mr. Lincoln, I don't want you to do that for the whole world. It was one of those best promises you ever made. And I would give $1,000 today if I had made my mother a promise like that and kept it as you have done." In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, we read what? We read the following: "Honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Now, this section, I'm sure most of them have parents. But this section, some of you might have lost a mother or a father because you are older. But I want you to notice this. The father in the fifth commandment in Exodus chapter 1 comes first. It says, "Honor your father and your mother." But if you look at the same commandment that's reiterated in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 3, it's interesting. Things change. It says, "Honor your, you shall fear every man his mother and father." It is reversed. In Exodus, the commandment, the father comes first. In Leviticus, the mother comes first. Now, of course, if you look at the Jewish traditions, they'll tell you, hey, you know what? The reason this is because the Bible or the Old Testament was written in such a way where when it came to honoring parents, at some point they had to mention the father, but at some point they had to mention the father, but it was also to show that they were both on the same par and that they should both be equally honored. And that's what the Jews would tell you. But of course, as from a Western perspective, you would have to say, you know what? At some point, somebody, one of them is going to be mentioned before the other. So there's no significance there. But to the Jews, that is an important issue. Is it important to say at some point to bring out the father first and at some point to bring out the mother to show that they are equal and that they should both be equally honored and respected? To honor our parents is the first part of the commandments that deal with our love for others and humans. And it starts at home. By the way, I forgot to get your worksheets. I left them at home and I could not print them off here because I had sent them online and I was not able to access the internet. So anyhow, I do apologize for that. Many of your worksheets are not there, but just follow with me. To honor our parents is the first part of the commandments that deal with our love for other humans. And it starts at home, at your home. And it starts at at home, the place that is often the site of our dysfunctional behavior. Am I correct on that, by the way? The place where we are most comfortable to let our hair down and be ourselves. The place we often cause the most pain. Where are you the most yourself? Out at church or at home? I don't know about you, but at home, I am who I am. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. If you want to open your Bibles and look at that passage, points out that this is the first commandment that also has a promise with it. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, however, adds another promise to the fifth commandment. And I've put this on online. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Points out that the first commandment that also has a promise with it. And here it is. You can see the difference between Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And now Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now you see there is a significant difference between the two. Here, your life in Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 16 is not only prolonged, but the Bible promises that things will go well with you. It's not just about having a long life, but things are going to start going well with you. And that's a significant difference, and there's a significant point to this promise. I want to read to you this quote that I found. I like this promise of things going well for me. Yet despite knowing that honoring our parents is the right thing to do, it's far too easy to shun their advice. Is that true or not today? Young people, I'm talking to you here. And I'm talking to you as a Middle Eastern, not as an American now. Too often we convince ourselves that they can't possibly understand what we're going through. How many of you have said that at one point in your lives? You know what? He ain't understanding what I'm talking about. And that they really have no idea what we want or need, and that their disciplinary actions at any age are disrespectful to us as young adults and individuals. To accept this truth is to believe in a lie. To accept this as truth is disrespectful. It is dishonorable. It is ultimately sinful. And I'm challenging you today. I'm going to be using some Middle Eastern tactics here. Not the usual American strategy that I use. Keep in mind, however, that our parents are not perfect. They're not. They're human beings. No matter how confidently we might have believed it at one point during our innocent childhood, we are not the superior offspring of Superman and Wonder Woman. I'll guarantee you that. We're not. Thankfully, Paul offers some timely advice for us earlier in chapter 4 of his letter in dealing with the imperfections of others. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 to 3, we read the following about imperfections of others. And keep in mind, your parents are not perfect. And at some point, they might not understand you. But to use harsh words, but to be disrespectful is wrong of you as well. I want you to notice what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 to 3. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves together with peace. Now, our parents aren't perfect. We're not the offsprings, as I said, of Superman and Superwoman. Our parents are going to make mistakes. But there is still an injunction in the Scripture that tells you, as children, and tells me as a child, that I've got to be what? I've got to be patient, and I've got to make allowance for errors from my parents and from others as well. We show respect and honor toward our fathers and mothers by being patient with them and understanding that they are just like us and don't necessarily have it all figured out as their demeanor might suggest. Now, let me tell you something. Sometimes I thought, you know what? I knew everything about children until I had George. Honestly, it's a different ballgame. And this is where it comes. We think that we've got parents have it all together, and their demeanor might suggest it. But let's continue. Sometimes, though, because we trust and love them and feel so comfortable around them, we also all feel our innermost emotions surfacing in explosive ways because they don't just get it. Have you been there before, guys? We've all been there. And it continues on saying, and you know what? Sometimes they won't. Your parents are sometimes not going to get it. But there's a big but here. And that doesn't sound right. I'm sorry. I do apologize for that. But even in those times, nay, especially in those times, we are instructed. Oh, that is horrible. I apologize. In those times, we are instructed to be patient. Accept their advice. Be thankful for their advice. Apply their advice. By doing so, we honor them. Look, guys. You are not going to agree with your parents all the time. And your parents aren't going to agree with you all the time. But a sign of maturity is being able to live together in spite of those differences. And there's a biblical mandate. Tells you, you know what? Try to live peaceably with all men. It's incredibly difficult. I know, and I'm trying to probably minimize it here. I'm not trying to. It is hard. Sometimes I really wonder if my parents know anything when it comes to the petty details. But every time I run to them, they usually floor me with genius perspective. So what does it mean to honor your parents? What does it mean to honor your parents? Well, the Jews came up with a whole list of how one should keep this commandment. And I'm going to show you some, but I'm a believer that we shouldn't have a list. We've got to be careful of making lists. But the Jews have this list that they put together, and I wanted to share it with them. Honor step-parents. This is what they say. Honor in-laws. It's hard to honor in-laws, isn't it? Mother-in-laws and father-in-laws. Don't wake your parents up unless they would want you to. It's interesting. Don't rebuke your parents if they break a commandment, but ask them respectfully about the commandment. You know, parents are fallible. They make mistakes. It continues on to say, one must honor his parents even after their death. Always add, may his or her memory be a blessing when you mention your dead parent. Now, here are some practical ways to keep this commandment according to the Jews. So they'll tell you about what we could do in order to honor them. And they give you some practicals. And I'm not trying to give you a Jewish perspective here, but I want to give you an example of what different cultures do. And the Jewish culture, where our Bible is written, gives us a good handful of this. Bring them food and drink, including helping with meal preparation and grocery shopping. That's how you can help your parents. Assisting them with paying bills, banking. Transporting them, giving a ride to a doctor. When possible, live near the parents. And I think that's a big in the United States, isn't it? Because of the workloads. Kids just travel all over the world. Visit and phone as frequently as possible. Be sensitive to a parent's tendency to worry. Parents worry, by the way. Let me tell you, kids, if you think your parents don't care about you, you've got it wrong. You've got it wrong big time. Your parents worry about you. And most of the time, the reason your parents give you those advices is because they love you. And they worry about you. If the parent is old or infirm, the child is to arrange for their care or help pay it for it if they cannot afford it. Jerry, there you go. You worked so hard to take care of your parent. A powerful example of honoring a parent. It goes on to say, never make your parent feel that they are a burden or that you are helping out of obligation. Stand up when your parent enters a room. Hold them in high esteem. And the list goes on and on. These are the things that the Jews say, hey, you know, you're honoring your parents. And I see so many of you here who've honored your parents. I remember visiting with Ethel. You're spending time with her. It's such a beautiful thing to see that bond between children and parents. I've seen Tyann taking care of Amy. I've seen Edith taking care of her mother. I've seen Rick fly all the way to Maryland to be with parents. Honoring parents. And this church has been so powerful at that. Salmons, you brought your parents all the way to Indiana, didn't you? Your mom, to take care of her. And I could see this through it. According to Jewish tradition, there are a few instances when you are not to obey your parents, though. There are times when you are not to obey your parents. You've got to be careful, children, as well. Not everything your parents say goes. There are times when you've got to be careful. If a parent instructs a child to do something that violates Jewish law, and in this case, a Christian law, a biblical law, I would say, the child should respectfully refuse to do so. If a parent gives you a permission to go out and steal, what are you supposed to say as a child? No, I'm not going to do that. If a parent tells you to tell a white lie, what are you supposed to do? Excuse me, but I am not going to tell a white lie. There are boundaries as well. A child needs not comply with a parent's request to do something painful or demeaning. That's a good example. Similarly, a child should refuse to assist the parent in doing anything that is dangerous or unhealthy. And so these are some perspectives. Now, I'm going to continue. According to these also Jewish traditions, there are three areas that a child does not have to respect the wishes of a parent. Even though the first one is something I can say that I can debate it. In choosing who to marry. Let me tell you something, children here, kids. Many times, the advice of parents when it comes to a partner is extremely valuable. Because when you make a choice when it comes to marriage, it's a choice that will last with you for a long time. Till death. That's a long time. And the choice you take is important. And listening to your parents is extremely important. Take your parents' advice. This is something probably I might be very cautious in mentioning, in choosing who to marry. Second, in maximizing the study of Scripture. If your parents tell you, you know what, you need to limit the number of time you're spending in Scripture, there are boundaries. Time with God in Scripture is important. And third and final, choosing to move to Israel. That's what they say. It's a good point. It's a valid point. As with many things, the Jews define things very specifically. You know, they've just defined everything. Let's look more closely at the passage. What does it mean to honor a parent? The Hebrew word that is used here means heavy or weighty. That's what it means. It can be used in a negative sense, like a heavy burden, or it can be used to mean to give something substantial weight or importance in your life, making your parents a priority. You can take it both ways if you notice. You can see it as a burden, you can see it as a weight on your life, or you can see it as what? A joy. Something to look forward to. When Jesus speaks about honoring parents in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 to 20, and this is a passage, I'm not going to read it to you, but I want you to look at this passage. Matthew chapter 20, look at it later on. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 to 20. He connects the commandment with helping your parents financially as they age. Isn't that interesting? There was a tradition among the Jews that if you promised to give God the money, then your financial obligations to your parents were no longer binding. This is interesting. Giving your money, your time to the church, does not remove the responsibility we all have to our parents. I want you to remember this. One of the core analogies used in the Bible between us and God is that of a father and his children. Keep that in mind. God is our Father. Honoring our parents is honoring God. So I want you to keep this in mind. I want you to look at the scripture in Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 and 20. Jesus is saying, look to the Jews. Yes, you need to be honoring. You need to be honoring your parents here. Getting and trying to bail out of helping your parents because of giving money to the temple or so on and so forth is not an excuse. You have an obligation to your parents. And the same goes to you and to me. There are a lot of books out there on parenting and how to raise a child. I mean, when Jill and I were looking at some books, I was like, wow, which one do I choose? You know, there's the French, there's the American, there's the Middle Eastern. That's a whole different ballgame, by the way. And there's so many ways of raising parents. There are fewer books about how to care for aging parents. I mean, try to find a book that talks to you about taking care of an aging parent. How many will you find? A handful. In our Western society, families are much more fragmented in the past. I mean, if you look 20 years back or 50 years back, today our families seem a lot more fragmented, and I just can't get it. Children may live thousands of miles apart from their parents today because of, you know, job strains, economy, and so on and so forth. Our extended family is often not around. Well, look at Jill and I, myself. My sister lives in California. My brother lives in Beirut, Lebanon. Jill's mom lives down in southern Indiana. Another brother lives in Colorado. Another brother lives in Michigan. I mean, you talk about family going all over the state, all over the world. And so we are requested, or we are somehow to act independently. That's the way it is. Raising a child is difficult, especially alone. I mean, Jill and I are facing that. It is so hard to raise children alone, especially when you've got George. That kid is a fireball. Perhaps we are so hesitant because when we care for aged parents, we are facing death sometimes. You're looking at somebody you love and is just fading away and phasing out. When we care for our children, we are caring for the potential of the future. You get the mindset that we have. You're looking at an aging parent, and you're like, man, this is painful to see somebody you loved so dearly just beginning to lose things, just can't get things together. But when the child is different, it's a lot easier. You're hoping that, man, this child is going to become an astronaut one day. You know how parents are. He's going to become a medical doctor and save the world. There's a lot more zeal, a lot more passion in raising a child. We see energy in life. When we face our parents as adults, we are facing the scars of time. We face all of the fragileness of life itself. So how much more difficult is it to honor parents that doesn't necessarily deserve it? How can we value them? And how can we esteem our parents? I want to suggest three things this morning to you. Words. We can do it with our words, making sure we are not putting them down. Young people, when you are talking to your parents, choose your words carefully. And I've talked about this before. Your words have weight to them. They're not just words. When you tell a parent, I hate you, it is painful. It carries weight with it. Choose your words carefully. Second, actions. We can do it with our actions, making sure they are provided for and taken care of. And I've seen this so powerfully in this church. I just can look around here and I can mention one after, I just mentioned this, one after the other, you guys taking care of your parents. And I want you, children, and I'm talking to you today, younger people, take the older people in this church as an example. You have, and I have, an obligation to my mother, to your father as well. Third, your hearts. We can do it with our hearts, choosing to value and admire the good in them and forgiving the bad. That heart give it to your parents. Your parents aren't going to be around for too long. You think 20 years, 30 years? Boy, that passes quickly when you grow up. It starts just going like that. So I'm talking to you. Remember your pastor. There was this crazy pastor once we had who said, give your hearts to your parents. Football practice was over. And Denny was sore from head to toe. I mean, when you play football, you can get a lot of bruises. Slowly he climbed the graffiti-laden stairway of the aging apartment building that he lived in with his parents. Suddenly, his mother's chilling screams pierced the cold, still air. He had heard the sound many, many times before. Still, a sickening knot formed in Denny's stomach. I mean, he was disgusted by it. Denny had tried for years without success to quell his father's drunken fits of anger and abuse towards his mother. Today, he decided that it was going to be different. Something snapped inside him. With adrenaline pumping, Denny stormed through the apartment door and tore his dad away from his mother. Hardened by years of football training, he hammered his dad with two quick punches. Then, empowered by years of burning memories, he lifted his father from the floor and threw him through the second floor, out the window, and down. Amazingly, his father sustained only minor injuries in the fall. But memories of what he'd done haunted Denny through two marriages and a string of friendships shattered by a fiery temper. Alcoholism, something he swore he would never do like his father did, slowly began to eat away at him. Little did Denny realize that if he had any chance at all for a worthwhile life, it would come by learning to honor his dad. Miraculously, even Denny discovered the freedom to be found in honoring his dad. After 6 years, Denny finally consented that he needed to attend church. And he ended up with a school teammate, and placed his faith at church, and he placed his faith in Jesus Christ. So he married a Christian gal. And of course, with the help of the church and with the help of his newly wedded wife, he began to learn that he needed to make things meet, end up, and come closer to his dad and close that gap that once existed. And so Denny picks up that phone and gives his dad a call. Hello, Dad? And all he hears is a click at the end of the line. After a few weeks, months, he tries again. Hello, Dad? And click. He tries three times. Times four times. And he gets no answer. Several months passes away. One day, his mother called him at the office with the shocking news that his father was near death. Before he could leave for the airport, his mother called again to report that his dad had disappeared. His father had checked into an alcoholic rehabilitation clinic in order to be able to talk to Denny about the spiritual things, sober, before he died. Denny did see his father again, and he had an incredible privilege of leading his dad to the Lord. Several months later, his dad passed away. Denny waits with great anticipation to see him again, eager to pick up where they had left off. Having found the freedom in giving the gift of honor, Denny now moves through life unencumbered by the chains of hate that once paralyzed him. By choosing to bestow honor, even when it wasn't deserved, he liberated himself and brought his dad to Jesus Christ. For Denny and for many others, the gift of honor is the gift of life. Today, I want to challenge you. I want you to choose to honor your parents in order to be blessed and in order to be able to claim that beautiful, beautiful promise that we read a little while ago. What does it say in Deuteronomy? Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that all may go well with you in the land. I'm going to challenge you this morning, young people, and those who have parents, to honor your parents in order to claim God's promise in your life. May the Lord bless you.